The answer to that's pretty obvious. If a man has a wife who he really believes truly loves him, is he more likely to listen to her or to some woman who pays little attention to what he says? He's much more likely to listen to the woman he really knows or believes loves him. And Christ knows who loves him, and Christ knows who doesn't. Christ knows who loves the church. Christ knows who doesn't. And the church is his body. And you can't love Jesus the way you should without loving his body. We as members of the body of his earthbound wife are to show our love for our heavenly husband by paying attention to what he says to us in his written word. When we do, he gives us what we request in our prayers. Why? Because we are asking for things his word has told us are important, and as such, are within his will. He can grant them because they are his will. Which of the following groups of people will ask for things that are spiritually important? Well, let me put it this way. Which of the following groups of people will ask for things, let's put it this way. Which of the following groups of people are more likely to ask for things that are spiritually important? Acts 2, 41, 42. Then they that gladly received his word. That's group one. That's those people who have received his word and have been saved. And that's group one. Are they more likely to ask for things that are spiritually important? Or what about this group? And then they gladly received his word and were baptized. What about those people that after they were saved went ahead and obeyed the Lord and were baptized the way his word directed, by immersion, to picture his death, burial, and resurrection, by the authority of a church that was still preaching and teaching what was delivered to the first New Testament church while he walked and talked? Would you think that he would be more likely to ask for spiritually important things if he were both saved and scripturally baptized? Or what about group three? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now you got three groups of people in the world today. You've got people that are saved and not baptized. You've got people that are saved and scripturally baptized. And you've got people that are saved, scripturally baptized, and are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teachings, didaskalos, the third part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's group three. Well, I would certainly say that the people who were in group three, that had been saved, baptized, and were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teachings and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, that group would be much more likely to ask for things that were spiritually important because they have drawn closer to God after they were spiritually united eternally with him by salvation through grace, what we call the new birth. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, which of the following groups of people are more likely to ask for things that are spiritual? Matthew 28, 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Literally, it says, as you are going, make disciples. That means tell people about Jesus. Let them get saved so they can follow Jesus. Here are people that are saved. That's group one. Group two, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. These are people who got saved and after they were saved were baptized. Group two, same as Acts 2, 41, 42. Now, here's group three. Not only are they saved and scripturally baptized, but they fall into this category. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, this verse of Scripture clearly outlines the difference between head knowledge and transferring it into the heart, the inner sanctuary which directs your life. You can know what the Word God teaches and articulate it in a marvelous fashion. But if you do not observe what you teach, or if those whom you teach do not observe it. I think there are times it would be better if we had not known it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So I would say in both cases, they're all the same, that group three is more likely to ask for spiritual things. Which of these three groups will live in the New Jerusalem in the position of honor known as the wife of the Lamb? Well, in a multiple choice test, I'll pick three. And so if you want to live in that holy city, I would pick three. And of course, you might have a fourth one, none of the above. But I would pick three. And I think that's what it takes. I think it takes being saved, scripturally baptized, and observing what you're taught and living it in your life. Now, let's examine some scriptures that many TV preachers constantly use to teach that God wants to give you great material prosperity in this present life. This Trinity Broadcasting Network has gone stark raving mad. They've got still a few preachers in there that have compromised what they believe about the charismatic movement that still teach some truth about salvation. But eventually they'll go overboard because a little bit of leaven, even in an individual, leavens the whole loaf. And here's what they're preaching to people, and they're preaching to man's carnal nature. And man's carnal nature thinks he's spiritual, and they're buying this lock, stock, and barrel. Let's look at these scriptures, because every single one of them on there use this. Every person on television that's not in the same faith I'm in uses these, every one of them. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. They take this scripture and they say, the problem is you don't believe it. If you'll believe it with all your heart and have a strong faith in God that God will do it, and you ask it believing God will do it, you're going to receive. Of course, they'll ask you to send in a contribution as seed to plant so that you can receive. And they'll say, that seed is a sign of your belief. Well, if you just take that scripture the way it is, then certainly a man could preach that, and the world doesn't know any better. We do, but the world doesn't know any better. John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, the wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, if you have faith in his name, just ask anything in his name, and where two or three are gathered together in his name, oh, he'll do it. He'll do it. Yes, sir, I don't care. Ask for financial blessings. Ask for a new home. Ask for a new car. Ask for anything, not just some things. They say, oh, those Baptists, they're not spiritual. God wants to bless his children. God doesn't want to see his children out there begging. God doesn't want to see his children living in old homes. God doesn't want to see his children troubled and suffering and in agony. God doesn't want to see his people sick. Just ask God to heal that person with cancer. And if you've got enough faith and enough belief, you can ask anything in his name, and God will do it. And oh, they put great emphasis on that. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then these preachers say, did you ever notice those old Baptists? They go around like this all the time. Did you ever notice those old Baptists? Did you ever notice them? They're never happy. They don't have any joy. They don't have any happiness. They're sad. They don't have any spirituality whatsoever. And then they'll say, we've got joy. Our joy is full. Because we have a great God. We know that if we believe and have faith in that God, we can ask for anything. We're going to receive it, and our joy is full. Now just send me in a contribution, because that seed contribution is a sign that you believe God. Well, I know to us that's all ridiculous. But to this world outside these walls, filled with men and women who are trying to live carnally for the Lord and let their carnal man worship God. And don't tell me the carnal man doesn't try. He can't, and God won't accept it. But they've been trying this ever since Cain. Well, what about these scriptures? Well, you got to look at them. See all those ye's? It's interesting. Sounds great, doesn't it? If you just believe hard enough, have enough faith, then God will give you anything you request. Whoopee! Full joy. But let's examine this in context. To whom is he speaking? Who are these plural ye's? Go back and look at every one of these. There wasn't anybody there but those same men who Jesus had taught for more than 3 years when these scriptures were written. They had traveled with him through all sorts of hardships. They had stuck with him through thick and thin. For all their human imperfection, which we all have, for all their idiotic mistakes, which we all make, they were still following Jesus, and they were the only ones there when he spoke these promises. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Matthew 21, 22, John 14, 14, and John 16, 24. In every single instance, these promises are to a local, visible church he organized during his earthly ministry. And don't tell me they weren't disciples for all their imperfections, which we all have by nature and by birth. They had followed Jesus. If you're a disciple and you are trying to follow Jesus and you are trying to ferret out his will for your life, then you're going to pray for spiritual things. You're not going to ask for silly, stupid things like, Lord, do this, do this, do that, do this, do that. Something that pertains to the flesh. Now, certainly, we pray for the sick. We pray for physical healing. We pray for all these things. Why? Because we want the people to live and to be able to serve God and to stay among us, and to be used of God. That's why we ask for their healing. It's not just because we want them to live. It's because we want them to have the opportunity to live and to either receive Christ or submit to baptism or to join the church and be faithful in it or to continue to be faithful. God answers prayers with 100% efficiency for spiritual reasons. But a lot of prayers are not offered for spiritual reasons. A church that had traveled with him for more than 3 years. These promises are to a local visible church he organized during his earthly ministry. A church that had traveled with him for more than 3 years. A church, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, which believed in salvation by grace, secured the believer. Baptism by immersion by the authority of the proper authority, and observe the Lord's Supper alone with him after Judas left the Passover. It was a church that had followed him, suffered with him, and been taught by him for more than 3 years. They knew what to pray for because they were in fellowship with him. If you are in fellowship with him, then you won't ask for unspiritual or selfish things. So because of this, you will receive that for which you ask. You're not going to pray for a new Cadillac if you're in fellowship with the Lord. You're not going to pray for things that have to do with something that would promote the welfare of your carnal man. You're going to pray for things that have to do with the edification and building up of the church and for spiritual changes and adjustments in your own attitude and life. That's what spiritual people pray for, and that's what disciples are all about. And the disciples are in the Lord's church. Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Are you a church member in fellowship with his body, his earthbound wife, the local church? Then, my friend, if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're not going to ask for something unspiritual, unwise, or unwarranted. If you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you're liable to ask for anything. Well, look at James and John. They wanted to call the Lord down from heaven and destroy people. And would you believe that some church members would like to call fire down from heaven and destroy other church members? Don't tell me they're in fellowship with the Lord. When you're in fellowship with the Lord, you don't pray for things like that. And you don't bear grudges, and you don't bear hatred and envy in your heart. You go to the Lord and confess it, leave it there, and go on. John 14, 13 through 15. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How are you going to glorify the Father in the Son when you ask for unspiritual things? If you really are interested in what God wants, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. If we'd spend more time seeking spiritual things in God's Word, He'd be a lot more apt to hear our prayers. If we were really a part of Group 3, not just scripturally baptized, but practicing what He says in our hearts and lives, we'd be in fellowship with the Lord, and He would listen and answer our prayer. And we wouldn't pray for anything vindictive or hatred, or we wouldn't do that. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He'll do it. But look who he was addressing. Listen. Not a one of you here, certainly not myself, went through 3 years of what they went through. More than 3 years. And they had learned. It had been a hard road. And when they prayed for things of the kingdom of God. And you didn't see them wasting a lot of foolish time praying for things that wouldn't benefit the kingdom of God. And every healing that any one of them ever performed was for the purposes that people might believe they were from God and might be affected by God's word. If we would try to conduct ourselves as church members in such a way that everything we did was to bring honor and glory to Christ and was to be used in such a way that others might see the benefit of serving Christ, we would ask for things that would be in line with being in fellowship with the one of whom we ask them. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So these preachers that take these scriptures preach them out of context. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Peter turned around and said, can any forbid baptism that we should not be baptized even as we? None bevoted, none reposed. He said, then he commanded them to be baptized. There is a commandment to every child of God to submit to the will of God and be in obedience to God. It's a commandment of God that you follow him in scriptural baptism, but it's a commandment that you don't have to keep to go to heaven. If you love me, keep my commandments. A person that loves the Lord, loves the church. These men grew to love one another. With all their faults, all their imperfections, James and John wanting to be first, they all wanted to be first. They had all the same problems that we have. But by the presence of their master with them, and we have his presence through this book, his word, we can learn to do the same. We can learn to love one another. And if we love one another, everything else will take care of itself. The Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're in fellowship with the members of his body, then your interest in your heart is in God's work. It's not in your own self-centered wants and desires. It's you're seeking to do what God wants, and you throw your own selfish, petty desires and wants out the window for the sake of peace in your own heart and your own life, and you stay in submission to God, and you're not going to ask for dumb things. These people on television take all that completely out of context. John 15, 7 through 12. If ye abide in me, that's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about abiding in fellowship with Christ. And you can't do that without fellowshipping his body. If ye abide, that is, in fellowship in me, and my words abide in you, if you have a good relationship with me and you're forgiving others as I forgave you, you're constantly seeking to find the faults and flaws in your life and confess them and trying to live for me the way you should. And my words abide in you. These words that he left us, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Ye shall ask what you will. Now, in all honesty, if a person is in good fellowship with the Lord and he understands the word of God, he knows what it says, what's he going to ask for? What's she going to ask for? They're going to ask for a thing that God's Spirit's laid on their heart and is not in contradiction with the word. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You're not going to ask for something that's personal or selfish, something that gives you a desire of the flesh to show that you're right or show that you're wrong. You're going to be seeking the will of God in your heart and in your life and the furtherance of his gospel and his truths. And so you're not going to ask for something God can't grant. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He's glorified because you're in fellowship with him. His words are abiding in you, and the things you're asking for are spiritual things. When it says, seek and ye shall find, ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you, that's absolutely, unequivocally talking about spiritual things. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, my taught ones, disciples, those who are followers, those who are in fellowship, those who seek the things that are profitable in their lives spiritually and best for God's kingdom. That's the way the Father's glorified, through your conduct by fellowship with the Son through his written word. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in ye in my love. Well, what's the solution to my problem, your problem, and every church member's problem? We need to concentrate constantly on learning to love one another. It's very plain. It's very simple. It's not complicated. The speaker here needs to practice what he preaches. I need to observe what the Lord commanded, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. I need to practice what I'm preaching. But you need to practice what you're seeing and hearing. If we all observe and practice what we're seeing, then we won't have room for all these different things that cause objections between the flesh and controversies. And the Spirit of God can put down the individual unrest and unhappiness in our own lives when we admit that we don't love like we should, repent of it, and ask God to forgive us and to continue. Life is miserable for a child of God who's out of fellowship with the Lord. And the real tragedy is many people don't understand they're out of fellowship with God. They think it's everybody else. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So whatever you ask, if you're abiding in his commandments, you're abiding in his love. And he's going to listen to you and answer, because you're not going to ask for things that are contradictory to his desires or to his written word. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy, that your joy might be full. You can't lose your salvation, but you can jolly well lose the joy of it. The moment that you got saved, it was an exhilarating experience. Oh, I don't mean lightning went from the top of your head to the toes of your feet. I just mean that there was a relief. And for there, in an instant of time, you were saved, a child of God, and you hadn't yet had an opportunity to let the carnal man influence you, and there was true happiness, and you ran out and started telling people about Jesus. But it wasn't long until your carnal man began to work on you, began to want to take possession of the inner man, began to want to control your life, and pretty soon it wasn't such a joyous experience, was it? When you get out of fellowship with God, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose the joy of it. And the most miserable person on God's earth is not a lost man. It's somebody who's a church member, especially, that's out of fellowship with God. Or a lost person that isn't able to maintain at least the level of fellowship that a saved person can maintain. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 16:22-24. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, that your heart shall rejoice, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And he did. Why? Because all of them maintained fellowship with the Lord. Look at their lives. Oh, Peter got out of kilter quite frequently, but they all did. But look at Paul's life.